just mentioned, you know, the conflict that has to come up between the human rights policy and the realities. As an Argentina at the time of the Paris leading Pat Jerian to resign from the State Department.
No, there's no incompatibility. In my judgment, the measures of the nation's security from communist subversion or aggression is a prerequisite to the honoring of human rights and the establishment of democratic processes. We don't have any way to control, nor do we have the information to try to control the internal political processes of another nation. That's a judgment that the people there must make. But there's a remarkable degree of unity in South Korea. There's a remarkable degree of homogeneity among the people in their ethnic and religious background and in their common pursuit of their freedom and the repelling of aggression. I would like to see every nation on earth democratic. I think our form of government is one that could well be emulated, but we cannot expect that. But we can't sever our relationships with our allies and friends and trading partners and turn them all over to severed influence and perhaps even subversion and take over simply because they don't measure up to our standards of human rights. But that doesn't mean that we're abandoning those standards, and it doesn't mean that we're going to be any less effective in the future than we have been in the past. In pursuing that.
Mr. President, we want to ask you a few final questions when we return in just one moment.
The news. It may.
President, we're not going to have time to overview the election discussion with you in this time, but let me ask you a very large question about foreign policy. You see Russian troops in Cuba, you want them out, they don't get out. You see the Russians in Afghanistan, they try very hard to get them out, they're still there. Do you have a sense sometimes that the Russians keep moving ahead from wherever the previous game was, and that being so, is there any future in detente for us?
Yes, for the future may come, and I think any assessment of the relative progress and worldwide influence between the United States and the Soviet Union in the last 10 years, or 15 years, will show that we have made much more progress in acquiring new friends and new allies, new trading partners than have the Soviet Union. There is no other nation on earth now who's trying to emulate the Soviet system of government in its own government. And as I pointed out before, among the 3 million refugees who are now have escaped from countries, almost all of them have come trying to escape from Soviet influence or a Soviet sponsored or financed government. So that shows the attractiveness of our form of government in the minds of people who are supposed to be neutral or non-aligned. Our country has two commitments that override all others. The first one is our nation's security. It's the single most important responsibility on my shoulders as I sit here in the Oval Office, to keep our nation secure. And the second one goes with it, and that is to maintain our nation at peace. My belief is that our nation can only be kept at peace through strength militarily, first of all, and we have greatly enhanced our military strength since I have been in this office. We reversed a long downward trend that existed in the 8 years before I came in this office, and now turn it up, and we're committed not only to the last 3 years, but to the next 5 years and beyond, to keep our country strong. Strength also has to encompass economics, as you well know, the stability of a political system and alliances, which are much better shape than they were 3 years ago. Within that framework, we want to get along with the Soviet Union. We don't want to go to war with anyone. But we are not going to stand idly by to see the Soviets subvert innocent nations and their people. We are not going to stand idly by to see the Soviets threaten ourselves or our allies. We want to have arms control to reduce the threat of nuclear destruction of the world. But we will stand firm against Soviet aggression, marshal as much support as we can among allies and friends and like-minded nations. At times, because we are a superpower, if we must, we will stand alone. And we are strong enough to do it and do it effectively. And within that framework, détente is necessary.
Mr. President, you spoke just now of 5 years down the road, obviously on the assumption that you would be re-elected in November. What would be the priorities, the opportunities, free of political considerations of the third term, and you would, of course, have a 4 years Trying to do something new, what would be the priorities of the second Carter administration?
Well, we've had good progress the last, the first 3.5 years, the first term. We've not had a second term president in this country, since I've known. That was a long time ago. And the problems that our nation faces are difficult ones. They're intransigent, they're worldwide. Other countries look on us as a superpower to be on the cutting edge of the resolution of those problems in dealing with energy, world stability, the control of nuclear weapons, and enhance life for all people with jobs and education, better housing, better health care, a better and more stable international community so that we can work harmoniously toward those common goals. In our own country, a restoration of our unity after the divisiveness of the Vietnam War and the divisiveness of the Watergate scandal, a restoration of trust in our government, the pursuit of programs that deal with exciting new days ahead. Let me just give you one example to alleviate my answer. Our country is the foremost nation on earth in technological development and in exploring new ideas and taking advantage of troubling change to accommodate it and then to move forward with confidence and with success and with excitement. In dealing with the energy question, which is a worldwide serious problem, there are two ways. One is to conserve energy in our country, and I pointed out what America has done so far. The other one is to produce more energy in our own nation. The commitments that I and the Congress have already made to be financed out of a windfall profit strike from the oil companies will give us, in this one area alone, a larger program than the NASA space program, the Marshall Plan, which rebuilt Europe, and the interstate highway system combined. And that will transform American lives. And give us new kinds of industry, new kinds of technology, new kinds of education opportunities, new kinds of jobs, new kinds of excitement. At the same time, we'll be saving energy, not wasting it any longer, and opening up a vast panorama of a better life for American people. Those are the kinds of things that we can expect in the next 4 years and in the years beyond those after I'm running the president.
Mr. President, we haven't got any questions. It seems to have got out of time, and in order to preserve the possibilities of coming back to this Oval Office, we will overstay our leave. Thank you so much for appearing on this inaugural broadcast of KPBS Network.
It's an honor for me to be here, and I look forward to another interview in the future.